Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for December 3rd, 2023 is based on Luke chapter 1, verses 24 to 45. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield. And the sermon is based on our Advent sermon series, How Does a Weary World Rejoice? And the sermon is entitled, We Find Joy in Connection. Our second reading comes from Luke in the first chapter. In those days, his wife, Zechariah's wife Elizabeth, conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from God, the source of love, peace, and joy. Amen. Our Advent series, as a reminder, is entitled, How Does a Weary World Rejoice? And we will follow Jesus' birth narrative as told in the book of Luke. And even in the midst of this joy-filled narrative, we encounter people who feel isolation, fear, and disbelief. The hope is that this series will help us to acknowledge the weariness of our lives and of the world, while also seeking real and daily moments of joy in our lives. In her book, Atlas of the Heart, researcher Brené Brown defines joy as an intense feeling of deep spiritual connection, pleasure, and appreciation. She says joy is characterized by a connection with others or with God, nature, or the universe. Therefore, connection is fundamental to experiences of joy. Consider a time when you have experienced deep joy. To whom or to what did you feel connected to in that moment? In our reading from Luke today, we experience firsthand that the joy that connection can bring. We are told at the beginning of this reading that once Elizabeth becomes pregnant, she goes into seclusion. I always wondered why she went into seclusion. It's likely that she wouldn't be showing that she was pregnant for the first few months, so it isn't like she was trying to avoid prying questions from family and friends. We aren't told that she has some form of atypical pregnancy that would require bed rest. So why, in this time of great joy, in receiving the child that she has waited and hoped for so long, does she decide to go into hiding? Well, maybe like Zechariah, she had questions that she needed to work through. Maybe in the midst of the joy of the birth announcement, she had to work through some of the hard details in her mind. Am I well enough to carry this baby to term? Will I die in childbirth? When the child comes, will I have the strength and the energy to take care of a newborn? She may have been weary from the endless questions floating around in her head, or maybe she was just trying to hide from those same questions being asked 100 times by people who find out that she's pregnant at an advanced age. While Elizabeth is in hiding, the angel Gabriel makes another stop to deliver a second annunciation. An annunciation, as you remember, is when an angel comes to tell you that you are having a child. This time, rather than visiting an elderly, barren woman who shouldn't be able to have a child, the angel visits a young, unmarried virgin to tell her that she will be having a child under mysterious and wonderful circumstances. Oh, joy of joys! Or is it? Not unlike Zechariah, Mary questions the angel. How will this be since I'm a virgin? And after the explanation given by the angel, Luke doesn't tell us that Mary was so overcome with joy and excitement that she got up and danced around the room. She merely says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Her reply to an outsider may seem more of a reply of obligation than excitement. Now that she has this news, what's her next step? Does she begin to plan an elaborate wedding or a chance to elope and be married quickly? Does she begin planning her gender reveal party for Jesus? Does she go to Joseph, her fiancé, and try to talk through all the emotions with him? No, she hurriedly packs her bags and flees to the hill country. Like Elizabeth, why does Mary choose seclusion during this monumental life experience that should bring her so much joy? Well, scholars believe that Mary was somewhere between the ages of 12 and 16 years old when she gives birth to Jesus. I don't know about you, but processing angel visits and miraculous pregnancies and the child of God being entrusted to your womb wouldn't have been something that 12-year-old Corey could have processed, even if I had a womb. She was likely scared. Since she was not yet married to Joseph, there was no way that she would have been able to get pregnant due to societal rules at that time and expectations, which meant that when people did find out she was pregnant, great shame would have come upon Joseph's family because they would have thought that she was an adulterer. And the penalty for that could have been upwards of having her stoned to death. Could the worry and the weariness of that great responsibility have driven Mary out of her home on a 90-mile journey by foot, spending 5 to 6 days to flee to the safety of her family member's home in a far-off land? And of all the places to go, why does Mary choose to visit her family member Elizabeth, who is considerably older than her? Well, maybe it's because Mary knew that Elizabeth was in a similar situation as she was. They were both pregnant with children that they should not have been able to have. Maybe Mary sought out the connection with Elizabeth because she knew that only Elizabeth had the same kind of life experience that would allow her to understand what Mary was going through. Elizabeth's life circumstances prepared her in a way for this conversation that nothing else could have. And when these two women, who have secluded themselves, maybe because of their worry or their weariness, see one another, we're told that the joy spills over in their connection. Elizabeth's baby jumps with excitement in her womb, and she exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And just after this reading ends, we hear the beautiful poem or speech by Mary known as the Magnificat, where she praises God for all that God has done throughout time and for siding with the lowly people like her. Reverend Liesl Gwyn-Garrity reflects on the story in this way. Perhaps Mary's arrival is what pulls Elizabeth out of her seclusion, allowing her to experience joy and delight. I want to highlight the mutuality of their joy. Even if they cannot feel joy for themselves, they are both holding joy for each other. And from that connection, joy grows. And it is important to emphasize that joy is fundamentally rooted in connection. But connection expands just beyond human relationships. We experience joy through a feeling of deep connection to ourselves, our loved ones, to God, to nature, and to the whole cosmos that surrounds us. Have you ever experienced joy in connection? My guess is that you have. God created us to be in relationship. And just like in the story of Mary and Elizabeth, God can take the elements from our lives that have caused us worry or weariness and use those experiences to give us a unique, empathetic experience that we can share with others. Elizabeth was uniquely able to speak to Mary's experience in this story, and vice versa. Sometimes the things in our lives that we try to seclude or hide away due to guilt or shame can be an avenue for connection. There's a reason that support groups like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous are run by people who at one time were slave to their addictions. It's because they can speak to the reality of someone in addiction in ways that most of us cannot. And they can offer them hope in ways that we cannot. Sometimes the thing that causes us weariness or worry forms us in ways that prepare us to be the light and the hope and the joy for someone in the future. Please hear me when I say, God does not put us in those situations of addiction or abusive relationships or anything else traumatic in our lives. It's not God's desire for us to suffer in any way. But God can use those hard times in connection with others to find a way for hope and joy to grow. Are you weary right now? Who might you be able to reach out to? Have you been through a worrisome experience? How might that have shaped you to be the connection point someone else needs in their life right now? Have you experienced joy recently in connection with someone else? Do they know that? Have you shared that joy with them or with others? I want to leave you with a quote from a book that I love entitled The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World, written by two unlikely friends, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. Tutu says, "What the Dalai Lama and I are offering is a way of handling your worries, thinking about others. You can think about others who are in a similar situation, or perhaps even in a worse situation, but who have survived and thrived. It does help quite a lot to see yourself as part of a greater whole." Once again, he says, the path of joy was connection. and the path of sorrow was separation. When we see each other as separate, they become a threat. When we see others as a part of us, as connected, as interdependent, there is no challenge that we cannot face together. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.